Off Planet Radio podcast. I'm Randy Moggins, and you are
Emily Moyer.
There you go. It's hard to get used to. It's hard to get too used to because this is audio only. So you know we can't pop up our heads and go hello. But basically, this is the first of the year podcast, and it's kind of a benchmark for things to come in the coming year. 2017 is a year of heavy transition. If last year was shuffling the deck, this is where we cut the cards. And I really see this year as a benchmark in terms of the people that count. And that may sound horribly, horribly elitist, but the people that count right now are the people that are moving things in the conscious realms. And as we move into 2017, I very much envisioned and viewed and channeled and all of that, getting the sense that what is set to happen is a cascade of some very high energies. But for the mundane world out there, the people who are the workaday, punch a clock, watch the TV, follow the foot soldiers of their media masters, it will be no different than it ever was. So we have to get our vision locked in. We have to align our energies, and we really have to focus first off on ourselves. And that's going to kind of be the focus of some things I want to talk about and things that Emily and I have been talking about in the background for a while. So I guess this is a way of saying, welcome to 2017. It's an artifice. It is an artificial time date. But because our consciousness and intentions are mapping our reality, it's 2017 because we've said it's 2017. Emily, what do you got to say?
So yeah, well, happy new year, everybody. Glad to be back. A lot of myself and then a lot of people that I've been talking to recently all sort of feel that like 2017 is a huge opportunity here to really create a lot of new reality for ourselves. And you were dead on when you said that for the people who aren't paying attention and who are just kind of, you know, riding through, it's not going to be any different. And so, but for those of us who are really paying attention to the subtle energies, but also the big energies that are coming in, There's I just feel like there's limitless opportunities to sort of create the path that you want for yourself. We're just 18 days into the year. I'm having like really good connections with people. I'm finding people who are the people that I've been wanting to find and needing to find for a long time. And we're connecting and we're, you know, working on things and talking about ideas and projects and this, that, and the other thing. I feel like we can make a lot of things happen this year. It's up to us. So yeah. So let's put our heads together. Let's put some of our bickering and our ego and stuff like that aside, and let's just move this thing forward, man.
Yeah, and in line with moving things forward, there's going to be some changes with Off Planet Radio as the year progresses, and we'll do this in progressive stages. We're going to move into what I guess we would call a subscriber model. And this is a touchy subject for people, especially people who are used to getting everything for free. And the mindset here is largely, we've paid it forward for a long time, and there's a reason for doing this, because it is nearly impossible anymore to continue pushing the boulder up the mountain while simultaneously maintaining everyday jobs and all of the things that go into our individual living. And the conscious community out there certainly has the ability to support the kind of work that we've done and the kind of work that we want to do in the future, which would be much more intensive and much more focused. So what we've kind of decided to do is we will gradually bring shows out that will be public for one half of the show, and the other half of the shows will then go into the archives. They will be for people who are part of the subscriber service, whatever model that is. It will not be expensive. We will consider it value added in the sense that we put energy into this. And what we're looking for in return is for people to begin supporting us in a way that makes it possible for us to do work at a higher level. So that's coming. That will be part of the program that will kick in over, I would say, probably the next 60 days to 90 days. And we will continue, by the way, to put out publicly available free material, because that's part of, you know, the service to the larger community and to, I guess the world, the planet, whatever the hell it is. Again, the vision is to expand this in a way that frees us, and frees us in ways that just beyond monetary. The value of time and the value of focus, energy, and consciousness is inestimable when you're doing this kind of work. To be able to have the luxury, as I've had for a few weeks now, to be able to sit down and begin to read again and research and have time to think, because the most important aspect of producing anything that's worthwhile is to be able to envision it and to be able to create from the inner impulses of our being. That's why we do these things. It's why Emily and I are doing these shows. Both of us have felt drawn to put ourselves out there and to propel a certain energetic forward. So as we go through this year, we believe we're advancing out the energy, and in return, what we're hoping for is the ability to be able to create more freely and without the constraints of constantly running from job to microphone and trying to put on a quality show. So that's one of the things that's going to happen, and we'll roll that out over time. One of the things that will come along with that is it will be a community. What we're envisioning right now is that there will be some forum aspect to this. I don't know exactly how that's going to work or when that's going to roll out, but I think Emily and I both feel very strongly we want some place to be able to communicate outside of open social media right now, because we're at a place right now, and this specifically goes to YouTube, where basically we are dangling ourselves out over a cliff by a very thin rope and being devoured by trolls on a regular basis. YouTube has become Troll City. And I've been very unhappy with it. I've been unhappy about the fact that we've been very faithful about putting out shows on a pretty regular basis, and that we're constantly being denigrated, mocked, ridiculed, in some cases even stalked by the predators on YouTube. And the reason this is possible is because YouTube is a free platform, and the mindset on YouTube is that you owe us something. You owe us doing a show, damn it. And you better do it perfectly too, damn it. And I'm tired of the mindset on YouTube. So eventually YouTube will just simply be a way for us to put out the things we want to say to the world, and a way for us to also let people know what we're doing so they can join in and be part of the community. So that's kind of the plan that we're working on right now.
You know, we'll still put out some things on YouTube, and if nothing else, small teasers to direct people over. We're also going to be moving, even for the information that is free, we're going to be trying moving people more towards getting it off the website as opposed to watching it on YouTube. it's a better practice to be in. We need to, you know, I don't really pay too much attention to a lot of what he says, but Matt Drudge was right when he said we need to get out of the ghettos of YouTube and Facebook and things like that, because it's just, it's really great way. It's the easiest. Unfortunately, YouTube is the easiest way. It's where you have the most subscribers and you get the most views, but it's also where people just feel free to say and do whatever they want without, you know, thinking about it. And I like the interaction from listeners, whether they agree with me or not, when it's, you know, respectful and when it's keeping their comments in context to what it is that they, to the information that they were, you know, looking at and how it was being presented. And I enjoy interacting with you all. I've gotten several, you know, I get some criticism, but for every piece of, you know, every criticizing message and comment I get, I've gotten many more nice ones. And I appreciate both. I learn from both. And I certainly, obviously, those of you who've reached out in friendship and with kind words, I really appreciate. I'm not perfect. I'm still new at this. I'm trying to get better at it. I'm working on it. We all bring our foibles to this. My intention, you know, is to move this conversation forward. And part of the way that I do that is by sharing my personal experiences. Some people don't like that, but part of the reason Randy and I do this is because we're trying to figure out what's going on so we don't understand ourselves. And, you know, that's always going to be part of it. You know, I'm learning to balance, to balance how to deal with things the way I do in interviews. I think about them as conversations. Sometimes maybe when we're talking to someone who we've never talked to before or who has written a book, then it's more interview-like. But a lot of these people we have on, we've either spoken to before or we've been sort of swimming around in the same information together for a long time. And to us, and certainly to me, it's more interesting to have a conversation than just to do an interview. There's lots of, I personally feel in some ways like the interview paradigm is coming to an end, along with the sort of, you know, some of the research paradigm. There's lots of people out there who do traditional interview shows. Greg Carlwood is great. He does what he does as well as anybody. I love listening to him. That's not what we're doing. Don't expect that when you come here. You're going to get a conversation. You're going to get a three-way conversation. Going forward, we'll also be, Randy and I will be doing sub-projects. Some will be doing together. Some will be doing separately. All of that will be, you know, there's going to be a lot more content. So when we ask for people to be subscribing and paying a small amount, there's also going to be way more content, different kinds of content. We're going to, you know, we're going to experiment with some things and see what works out. But we're going to work on our own sub-projects as well, where we can have our own styles and do things our own individual way, and we'll do some lots of things together. We're going to have a series that are targeted on, like, specific information, specific focused information. It'll be ongoing series of things, and then we'll always have our regular off-planet radio show. We're both really looking forward to this, and we hope that we know a lot of you. I know a lot of you guys have been with Randy for a really long time. I really want to thank you for most of you welcoming me with open arms, and it's a change from what Randy did before. And I really appreciate the experience, and I want to thank both you, Randy, and your audience for accepting me. This is an experience that I appreciate more than anything, and I look forward to being able to branch out and do different things with it. And we also, what, like Randy said, with creating the forum, we want to have more interactions with our listeners. And part of the way we can do that is by moving it to a forum where everybody's expected to behave in a respectful manner. And so everyone is safe to share, you know, whatever they want to share and not have to worry about the nonsense. And that doesn't mean people can't argue or disagree, but it needs to be done respectfully and sensitively and with the understanding that many people in the community of this show have been through lots of trauma, and we need to really be thoughtful in how we interact with people.
The other side of this is that even right now as we're talking, these platforms that have been out there that have been taken for granted, like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, are going to change. Most of the web right now is being driven by this free platform model. What YouTube has done over the last 5 years, let's see, I went, yeah, 5 years. 2012 was when I opened the YouTube channel for this show and did what at first was just 15-minute video blogs, and eventually evolved it into uploading shows more and more frequently. But now what YouTube has done is they have put advertising into everything. They are lacing ads in at a rate right now that on some 2-hour shows, if they're popular enough, you're getting ads at about 7-minute intervals. That is greater than the frequency of ads on network television. So what YouTube has now said is, okay, we get it. You don't like the ads. So here's YouTube Red. You can subscribe and we'll take the ads out. So the free model is going away. You're going to make choices between having highly collateralized advertising vehicles as YouTube videos, or you're going to have to pay YouTube to take the ads out. And this is a model that you're going to see more and more. Actually, Hulu Plus is doing this right now, and it's been pissing me off. Because I pay Hulu Plus, but now they want to say, well, we want more money if you don't want to watch these ads. You see, this is the engagement. They pull you into their universe, then they begin to monetize it with advertising, and then if you don't like the advertising, you have to pay them more for basically premium content. So our model is simply this. We don't really want you having to suffer through advertising at any point along the way. We don't like advertising either. And it could only be under the rarest of circumstances that I can't imagine right now where we would consider commercializing the work that we're doing right now. So the idea is to wean this thing off of YouTube, because YouTube's going the way it's going to go. You're going to see another shakeout of platforms on the internet, maybe even beginning this year. There's major platforms out there that are going to begin to shake out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think there's new platforms coming that will be better and that maybe we'll make some use of. But I think the best thing for us to do, so we can always not only have like control over our content and whatever, but also be able to provide a safe space for our community that is not just open to people, you know, just open to anybody to come in and poop on. It's more important that we create our own space. I think that's a lot about what this year is stop using things that other people have created and instead create something yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot that's a lot what this year is about for us and for a lot of other people. The other thing that I don't like about, I mean, YouTube has just broken it. It's like they've been breaking it, and then you have to pay them to fix it for you. I remember when YouTube, when I first started using YouTube, you could just, like, you didn't have to have the video screen on, so you didn't have to run down the batteries in your phone or device or whatever. You could just have it on in the background, or so you could have your phone in your pocket and listen to stuff. And then they took that away, and then they took away the best feature of what was always my favorite feature of YouTube, which was the activity feed. So that you could see, you could look at your subscribers, you could see the feeds of the people you subscribe to, and then you could also see what they were looking at, what videos they liked, and what else they were watching. And one of the first steps towards censorship, aside from advertising and stuff, that YouTube took was eliminating that. It was about a year ago, and I hate YouTube since then. Like, I get so bored with just the straight YouTube feed, because I love seeing the other things that the people I follow are looking at without having to go into their account to look at their liked videos. You know, so they, I don't think there's a way you can pay to get that back. I think they did that to limit people's scope of reality and information. You know, but then the advertising, and, you know, they're always trying to sell you the YouTube Red and this, that, and the other thing. It's just, it's annoying. It's like, you know, they had something that was good, they broke it, and then you have to pay them if you want them to fix it for you so that you can enjoy it the way you once did. I don't know. I just, the whole thing is obnoxious.
Yeah, so, you know, the platforms are there. We're going to use them. But we want to get back to doing, this show originally launched on its own website. For a long time, I didn't use YouTube. I did shows on Wolf Spirit Radio for a while. And then we tried launching our own live feeds. And then there was the crack up with Conscious Consumer Network. But I want to get us back to where the website's the primary vehicle, because broadcasters are getting lost in YouTube. There's people who, once their YouTube is taken down, Vinny Eastwood's gone through this twice now, when their YouTube's taken down, they're screwed because they haven't built traffic on their websites. And it's important to us to be able to control this, and I think we can do it in a much better way than what YouTube can give you. We have the ability to put a video experience together that's far better than YouTube. The nuts and the bolts are already baked in. So that kind of covers that.
One more thing is during this period of time where we're going through transition, we're going to go back to doing this show as a podcast as opposed to as a TV show, partly because the amount of time it takes to produce the video is eating into our ability to produce content. So right now, like, we want to be able to produce content at a quicker pace. And so at some point we may bring video back, or for particular shows that really need visuals, we may decide to do that. But I think from my personal experience and what I've talked to some of our listeners, most people just listen to it anyway. Occasionally they'll go look, you know, whatever, but we spend a lot of time on the art and music segment, which we love doing, but it takes a lot of time. And so we may come up with some more interesting art kind of videos that lace in some information and some music and some art at some point as ways of, like, pushing out, you know, shorter videos for people who have shorter attention spans to try and intrigue them towards coming to, you know, listen to the longer information. But for right now, we need to simplify the production so that we can worry about creating content. And later, maybe, you know, if things work out for us and we're able to cut back on the amount of time we spend at our, you know, slave jobs, then we may have some more time to make a really great visual production again. But for now, we're going back to podcast.
Well, I don't think the visual right now is adding value to it. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. We will probably engage visual media on another level because there's material that we'd like to present that's very visual. Again, there's this aspect of the time it takes to produce visual material, graphics, video compositing, video rendering. These are all things that require huge amounts of time and energy to do, and there's no staff to do it. But again, down the road somewhere, we can find ways to do this that I think are novel and creative. I know Emily and I have both talked about this, and we have a pretty strong vision for what we want to do with sound, music, light, all of the things that go into a complete media experience. But we have to stay focused on what the content is. So these are all things that we're going to kind of go through together. We're going to continue to bring guests on. And again, I gotta go here. The video, the interview format has largely evolved out of the modern era of mainstream media. And it's a wonderful format. I don't want to completely abandon it, but it has created a cult of experts, of researchers and people who are perceived as being, shall we say, the final word on certain subjects. And part of what we're doing now is we're going to deconstruct that to some degree, because you will never be able to research, you will never be able to know all of the facts and all of the constituent aspects of everything that goes into what you need to know. Knowing is a very different thing than research or numbers or how many facts you can jam into a zip file. At some point, people have to wean themselves off of research. Research is good when you are walking into a situation, but we're not in that place anymore, folks. This ain't Kansas in a metaphysical sense. We've left Kansas. You know, the people who are the core of what I see this audience as being want to push out dimensionally. And there is no research that can prepare you for going into multidimensional, when you begin to tap into your true power, there is an essence there that you can only reach when you go to the other side of the brain, which is stilling the monkey mind and getting to a place where you open the gap into the next realm, the extra dimensional realms. And that can't be researched. That can't really even be taught, but it can be encouraged and it can be shared. There is an energetic that's imparted as a result of creating an atmosphere for these things to occur. There is knowledge that's a component to this, but the knowledge is largely the activation, and then the activation is a result of the work that the individual puts into it. And it's a very different experience for each person. It's like mushrooms, ayahuasca, LSD, nobody has the same experience.
Yeah.
And the superconscious realm, the liminal realm, is something that's highly individual, and yet there is a shared aspect of consciousness to it. And the goal is to initiate that and then to begin to share what we're bringing back. Because truthfully, the next frontier of creation for the awakened people on this planet does not lie in us using our brains to figure out the next level of technology. The next level of technology, using the science and technology that we have now, is enslavement for humanity. That's just simply where this is all going.
Absolutely. And I think that is the opportunity for us to tap into our bioorganic spiritual technology that we have the ability to access and use. And, you know, I'm having connections with people, some of whom I've only met recently, where we're finding ourselves meeting up in the dream space, in other dimensions, realms, and having some similar experiences. Truthfully, in a lot of ways, we're better off honing our ability to use that technology than the technology that has been created for us to enslave us and to indoctrinate us, not only with the kinds of information they want, but with receiving information the way they want us to receive it. We need to, you know, grow into our ability to receive information in the way that we want, in the way that benefits us, and share it in the same way.
Yeah, a lot of this knowledge has been hidden. Some of it's been in plain view for a long time, too. But a lot of the knowledge has been hidden from us, and certainly the activation of the knowledge has been hidden. I just know here, too. I just saw this today. I had no idea. Apparently, the CIA liberated a whole bunch of files. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Related to the remote viewing and other psychic research that was being done between the 70s and the 80s. And gosh, I lost the web page. I lost just about everything here. Just may have to edit this part out because I lost my web page.
No, we're keeping it in. When I mess up, we keep it in. We're keeping it in. I'm kidding.
but what we're finding out is that a lot of the psi programs that were being done, and these programs go back, way back. These psi programs were using knowledge and modality that has been hidden from people for hundreds of, maybe 100,000 years on the planet. In other words, the concept that we're locked in a matrix here is true. But we're only locked here because we're prisoners of our own ignorance right now. We don't even know what we don't know. We were never intended to be locked down like this and exploited and exploiting each other at this level. And it's largely because we lost a connection to aspects of ourselves that, again, we're talking multidimensionality. We're talking about the aspects of ourself that don't appear in phase in this present reality stream. Maybe that's a good way to explain it.
Yeah, that was good.
So, you know, a lot of what we have concluded in background conversations between ourselves has been that the Black Ops projects that were formerly part of, you know, MK Ultra and all these other programs were probably being used to exploit those abilities. They were using traumatic mind control as a front-end technique to basically access something that is already present. And that's our other aspects, our other abilities, our other talents. You know, if you've ever had psychic flashes, if you've ever had forms of intuition, forms of knowing, if you've experienced time anomalies, if you've experienced moments when you've seen yourself across the room, which Emily and I have both experienced this, we've had encounters with other aspects of ourselves, which we view as separate personalities. These are all components of multidimensional beingness that has been hidden from us by science, religion, philosophy, government, education, all the institutions of the earth built a gigantic wall around this information and gave you a lot of bullshit excuses for why you were limited. Everything from the biblical fall of man to the concept that you are a slowly evolving microorganism.
The whole
evolution of consciousness thing has truth to, but it's largely been re-evolving, and it's been reaching a certain point, and then we hit the wall again, and then civilization gets pulled back again. It's like every time that humanity has hit a critical threshold of consciousness, all of a sudden we have this like near extinction level thing that happens on the planet. We know that in this epoch, there's been five near extermination events that have pushed humanity back into survival mode. And we're pretty close. We're close to one of those again, by the way. This is the slow drumbeat they keep trying to hook up, whether it's Armageddon, the apocalypse, World War III, all of the fear memes out there are designed to trigger us into being self-destructive to the point where we don't hit the mark of being able to turn the corner on this consciousness mode. You know, people have, I've read books since the 70s on the consciousness movement and what that means. And the one thing that becomes very clear is that, first off, evolution of consciousness is nonlinear. It jumps. It does these quantum leap things over time. You know, that back in the 70s, you had Professor Julian Jaynes at Princeton University who wrote the book Origin of Consciousness, which talked about the bicameral mind and the fact that he traced the history of consciousness of humanity from a time when humanity was operating what he called a bicameral mind, meaning the right brain functioned as a receiver for the so-called voice of the gods to then transmit to the left brain actions. And at some point, Jaynes, in following the evolution of this, said that consciousness reached a critical point where it began to merge into full consciousness, where we had a fully focused conscious mind that functioned unified left brain, right brain functions. So that would be in this epoch that we've seen this upward advancement, but it's really been very gradual and slow. I mean, you're going back into Greek culture nearly 5,000 years. So we're 5,000 years, theoretically, after the emergence of what we would consider the consciousness of our modern mind. In other words, where we have an integrated left brain, right brain function that does not include hallucinating.
What's wrong with hallucinating?
But now we're back. But in one sense, we are kind of back to hallucinating, because that right brain function got suppressed in favor of the left brain function. So we lost something. We didn't really unify it. We went to a left brain dominant, which means we advanced arts and sciences and all the mechanical aspects of the world, but we lost the intuitive, we lost the connection to the etheric, which, you know, is a profound loss when you start to think of it, that we've not bridged that gap. So we advanced into science and mathematics at an incredible degree in a linear sense, but we lost the ability to quantum leap the emergence of our logical mind to dream time to be able to make the quantum leap that gets us to a place where we're multidimensionally accessing the knowledge that's stored in other selves.
It seems to me like we should be much more able to bring back and use that gained in the dream and imagination space than we are at this point. It's funny, I was just thinking as you were saying that stuff, that how hard they've worked to convince us that consciousness and time are linear, right? And they're not. And that's, I think that actually is like the bulk of what our problem is and why we are not understanding who and what we really are, is because we're trying to, we frame everything in that track.
Yeah, we're still looking at a progression that's linear based on tick-tock time.
Right.
And we're trying to make progressions, even if you're rapidly accelerating in a linear fashion. There's a limit to that, because there's a limit to consciousness when you're linear. You see, the whole point is to unlock consciousness where it has a multidimensional access point, because we're only seeing things in three dimensions right now, and we're only thinking in three dimensions. And this goes into, you know, a lot of the material that I expect over the next 6 months we're going to kind of begin to break out, either ourselves or with some other people out there that I think have some of the keys to this type of material. But like I said, a lot of the keys have been out there for a long time. They've been withheld from you. I did find the webpage here, and I'll just put this out real quick if you want to look at it. You can go, I'll put the link up with this show. You can go over to theblackvault.com, and it's called the Stargate Collection. And it includes a lot of information, specifically on the remote viewing projects, which, you know, I'm downloading this file now. You can actually get the file at archive.org. Black Box did a great thing. They converted, when the CIA dumped all this data, they put it out into these huge multi-page TIFF files, which, like, nobody knows how to read a TIFF file unless you're an archivist. It looks like Black Box converted them to PDFs, and you can download them from archive.org. But
yeah, I was looking at some of those files last week. I somehow got led there as well.
Oh, so. You did? You did? You got led? Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, you know, obviously we're 40 years out from this, but like I said, the work that they were doing out at Stanford Research Institute and other places were groundbreaking in terms of opening up the realm of human consciousness, but it was suppressed. And the forms of remote viewing that were released to the project, I mean, even the CRV techniques that have come out from Ed Dames or Courtney Brown, these are modalities of remote viewing that I would say at best are probabilistic and able to give you some data, but we're talking about doing this holographically. And yeah. I can tell you that when you begin to remote view on a quantum level, you're no longer remote viewing, you're remote influencing, you're literally creating. And that's kind of where we want to go with all this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's many other forms and styles of remote viewing and uses for remote viewing as influencing and whatnot. And so I think, you know, I actually find the form that Courtney Brown uses to be, it confuses me a little bit. Like, I understand what they're doing and I understand how they're reporting it, but I don't understand why just telling somebody numbers makes them zoom in on something. Like, that's not how I, like, you know, what I do is more, a little bit more random and different than that. But the techniques that are out there to be very, very, very limited stance of what there actually is.
The CRV techniques are designed to basically create a repetitious, boring routine that distracts the mind. And basically the coordinates are just a way to designate a target. They are actually random. In fact, the early experiments that were done at Stanford with Ingo Swann, they were using a random number generator.
But then that's the part. I know that that's what they're doing. That's sort of, to me, why it doesn't make sense. It kind of is nonsensical.
Well, it's a double blind test. It's what enables the data to be vetted on the basis that the operator, that the viewer has not been contaminated. So that you got a pure field. But that's because it's intelligence gathering.
Right.
And it's military grade. They took higher practices, and Ingo Swann talked about this. They took higher practices and basically got them to a point where the Army would accept them as a standard routine to be able to use for intelligence. And quite honestly, even at that point, they didn't really get it, and they abandoned most of the programs in the late 80s anyway.
They took what is really like a spiritual spiritual practice, a spiritual technological practice, or a spiritual quantum physics type practice, and just like militarized it to the point where they took all of that part that is spiritual and quantum almost out of it and just made it, you know, very much more base.
Well, they also got very frightened because targets were starting to get identified.
Yeah. And,
Russell Targ, Hal Puthoff, there were a whole team of remote viewers there. Basically, they had owned their skills to the point where they were finding things they weren't supposed to find. I mean, Ingo Swann wrote a whole book on what he remote viewed on the moon. And there has been a lot of suppression over RV, largely because of that. The simplest level of RV, and you know this, is remote viewing yourself.
Yeah.
there's a challenge because that's the inner landscape, and actually, you know, that's a meditative technique.
Yeah. That's one I've, you know, spent some time with, and that for sure. And that's so funny because that's something that's so not a military, introspection is not at all like something that the military is interested in. So they're, that's interesting that they,
anyway. Well, we're in this place where, like I said, in terms of a civilization, unless we turn this around, and it's not going to get turned around by the majority of people, it's going to require a nucleus of people on the planet to galvanize forces that trigger events into an evolutionary process, but a rapid evolutionary process, probably a quantum leap. In other words, where people will literally not even realize what happened. You'll wake up in another world. And as trippy as that sounds, that's actually stuff that's been prophesied for a long time as being, you know, the two earths, the two worlds. You know, the concept that we would split as a species. And it's difficult to say this, but we have to take the initiative to do this for the sake of everyone, because everybody's on an arc, on a course. You know, it's kind of like the arc of man, the Vitruvian man that's on the Planet Radio website. We have to initiate this, and there are people that are initiating it. We're just linking up with them, and we're linking up with ourselves, because the others are as much ourselves as they are other souls. It all gets real trippy, but
I think you know, a fairly small group of us, like, I mean, you know, probably people who partake in the kind of information we put out, whether it's through our show or other shows that are similar to our shows, you know, there's probably a core group of, you know, several thousand, and we have to create this thing, and then some of us carry with us enough energy to sort of pull some others who aren't aware of this stuff, but who have like mind and right intention, and just haven't come into this, some of this knowledge and awareness yet, that through our energy can kind of pull some of them along. But the truth be told is we're going to have to leave some people behind. We're going to have to leave some things behind. And that's one of the things that I've also, along with seeing that this is a great year of opportunity, it's also going to be a year of decisions, a year of choices, and a year of some loss. And there's some people that are lovely people and who we love, but that it's going to become impossible for us to continue our growth, our on our trajectory forward, still continue being tied to them on a regular basis, because they're just we're existing at this point in different paradigms. And those who are resisting any kind of shift aren't, and we're trying to push the shift forward harder, it's going to become an impossible struggle, and we're just going to have to, in some cases, make the decision to let go. And I think that's going to be very difficult and very painful, but I think that's part of this process.
Well, I think we already saw that in the dynamics behind this election. And for you people who are not inside the United States, you may not have been involved in it directly, but you've watched it. I know, because I've had a lot of people outside the U.S. comment on this. The elections in the U.S. affect the world. They know that. But the level of divisiveness that we've seen and the polarity as a result of the schism in the political spectrum is off scale. I've never seen anything in the years I've been on this on this world in terms of how schismatic it was and how polarized it was. And we're recording this today, 2 days away from the inauguration of Donald Trump. And there are people out there that are still convinced that they need to remove this man, that he can't be allowed to become president. Well, the people that voted in this election, which doesn't include either one of us, you voted for president. You voted for one of the two or maybe four if you went independent candidates that were on the ballot. You basically consented to a leadership by voting. And then you turned around, and depending on which side of the line you were on, you're either immensely pissed off and feel completely screwed by the fact that Hillary Clinton lost, or you are elated, breast beating, and convinced that Donald Trump is going to change the world for you. And the truth of the matter is that both camps are wrong. Mm-hmm. Both camps need to pull their energy back into a place and understand that the only thing you can do at this point, quite frankly, much like what I put up on Facebook today, is you need to hold to intentionality the best possible outcomes, whether it was Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I remember when Obama was elected, and I remember watching him take the acceptance speech at Hyde Park in Chicago. And it felt very dark that night because I kind of knew who he was. And we lived through 8 years of Obama. And when I was doing radio shows back in the time of Obama's first term, I said he will have a dark night of the soul. He will choose. Because every president's going to make the decision whether they're going to play the game or whether they're willing to pay the price to buck the tide. Most have not bucked the tide. And the last presidents that we saw that even remotely did this was Kennedy and a little bit Ronald Reagan, who got tamped down as well. But we're way past this democratically elected leadership thing. This is a lost paradigm.
Yeah, you know, this whole situation that's going on is crazy, and I feel like people are I'm not going to say the right point because I'm not saying that just because it's what I think it's right, but you know, people wouldn't. The problem is that we have this thing called president. That there's, you know, people, I hear people talking about how they can't believe this man is going to be the leader of the free world and we can't allow that to happen. No, the problem is that we've allowed this idea of that there should be a person who's the leader of the free world to go on for this long. The problem is that, so we need to, you know, this, the idea of the president is what we is the problem. If there was no freely, you know, one man, freely leader of the free world, then there wouldn't be a Donald Trump in that position. And so this isn't about Donald Trump. But if having Donald Trump there, my hope for the best outcome is that this is the opportunity for everybody to see that it is so dangerous to have any human being with that much power or just perceived power, whichever it is. That's a very dangerous concept. And so we need to overthrow the idea of president, not overthrow or not impeach the president because he's Donald Trump, not have a coup or overthrow him because people don't like Donald Trump. We need to overthrow that idea.
No, you can't fix the model. Unfortunately, somebody needs to run the corporation called the United States government right now. It's kind of like these people have a lot of power. They hold huge amounts of money, huge amounts of weapons. They control manpower that unleashes forces of destruction on foreign nations. So somebody needs to sit and ride roughshod over that system. But that does not control your life, and it doesn't control the life of people on this planet. The disempowering aspect to that is that what I saw people do was completely lose their identity in this, to the point where we lost friends, we lost family, we lost perspective on who we are individually, and got caught back up into the collective again.
I didn't. This was like my least stressful and most pleasant election because I didn't care who was.
No. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even for us, we get sucked into it. I mean, yeah. It's impossible not to, because we have to interact with people who are heavily invested in the whole political construct. Yes.
I had some very stressful conversations. We both had some very stressful arguments and conversations with loved ones. And it is weird how, but, and this is something that is, I'm sorry, they need to work on as in order to be intellectual, as an intellectual exercise. My not believing in government and not believing in a voting system does not equate support for Trump. I have been accused of being a Trump supporter because I don't vote, and that is I am against everything Hillary Clinton stands for and everything Donald Trump stands for. It's been unfortunate. Like, I don't think that there are people. Probably there are some people, some loved ones for each of us that actually get our position, but maybe don't like it. So try and argue with us about it, and then others who just don't get it and they're not understanding it, and they need to exercise that. You know, they need to stretch their idea of what are the possibilities there are for, you know, people, what kind of ideas people can hold. And their mind has been so divided into there's either this or that. There is, and whereas, you know, I think of things in a both and or neither kind of way. You know what I mean? So
what happens is that the lower level consciousness, and look, I'm not saying that again to be elitist. It's a low level consciousness. Okay. It's the same construct that has enshrined kings and popes and dynasties for tens of thousands of years. And because it is done to control the masses themselves continue to pull everybody else back down into it in terms of a consensus reality. The people who are on the outliers of this, who are attempting to jumpstart the next level of consciousness, are so far away from that in terms of their consciousness that they really don't even seem like they're connected to the same world anymore. And that's really the point of all this.
Yes.
The point is,
I feel like I'm floating off compared. Yeah, it, totally. Yes.
But we are, because see, the physical construct is internally generated. This is the conversation that you and I have been having. It's a conversation that people like Og Tellez are talking about. The internally generated reality stream is a consensus reality, but at some point, you as a sovereign conscious being have the ability to jettison the collective reality in favor of a more harmonious experience. And that's where you begin to see civilizations that are jettisoned. You know, and ultimately what happens in historical terms is that once the conscious minority jettison that civilization, it implodes. That's the story of Atlantis, Lemuria, the Great Flood, all of the other catastrophic events that have taken place on the planet, is that once the so-called gods have set sail from Atlantis, then Atlantis sinks into the sunset. It's just this weird dynamic. You know, you can consider that mythology, but that is, in fact, the vision that you get at some point.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And that's a more interesting and eloquent way of putting what we said in that things are going to be left behind.
There you go. Are you saying you're a god? No, I'm saying you're a god. This is what I keep telling people. You don't understand the power that you have within you to create a better reality for yourself. You don't need to sit around and wait for 4.5 million other people to vote with you, for somebody to hand you, a better healthcare package? Really? You want better prices so you can go into a hospital and be poisoned? Really? You know, you want $15 an hour for a burger flipper job? But really? You needed to get over that by the time you were in high school. Okay? I mean, We're not aspiring to higher things here. And that's not to put people down that need those kind of jobs. Everybody starts out somewhere. Everybody is somewhere. It's not about where you are. It's about where you want to go.
Yeah.
And in my own personal life, you know, it hasn't been about so much advancing my physical good. That was a byproduct of launching out into other things that gave me joy, that gave me a sense of peace, a sense of discovery. And I've had 5 careers in my life.
Yeah.
None of which I was trained to do, none of which I have any documentation for at all. I have no degrees. I'm not authorized or confirmed or certified to do much of anything.
You're certified.
It's just so certified. Yeah, I am still. Remember that. I have paperwork that establishes that I was examined by a qualified psychological professional.
That I don't know what that possibly could certify.
I have no idea at all what that means.
You were insane, but I don't know.
I think the thought of being sane scares me more than anything you can imagine.
Yes.
Yeah. There's the rubber stamp right there. So the ideas that flow out of this whole thing, it can be real interesting, and it's kind of a journey that we're going to take. A lot of what's bleeding out right now is a result of the fact that the Black projects were much bigger than anything we imagined, and how many people were pulled into them. And it's touched the lives of, I'd say, more than hundreds of thousands of people over the course of the last 50 to 60 years in some way indirectly. So the people who have gone through any kind of programs have had contact with some of the things that we're talking about, because what intelligence agency operatives have been very interested in is how to pierce the dimensional veil. It's the ultimate espionage tool. And a lot of us were trained in things we now just starting to understand, some of us very late in life. And as we kind of go through the discovery process, we start to realize that all they were doing was trying to initiate the process that we can self-initiate for. We kind of can do our own little mini MK Ultra type things in terms of activating this. And I'm not saying that to make light of MK Ultra or to diminish the brutal aspects of it, but to say that mind control is not a bad thing if you are the one who's controlling your own mind.
Yeah.
So we need to invert the things that have happened that are horrible and traumatic. We need to begin to learn from them. And that's what a lot of the people that have come through the show over the years, whether they've been abductees or people coming out of projects or people that are targeted individuals, have been kind of showing us, is that despite the fact that they've done all these brutal projects, these same people are now standing up and becoming valuable assets for the emerging consciousness.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing is that you're exactly right when you said they were trying to initiate, they wanted to initiate them so they could box them and control them. Well, now they've been initiated, and now we're aware of them within ourselves, and so now they're ours to use in the way that we see fit, and in a way that is useful and expansive for us, and that we need to be careful, and we need to not get carried away with ourselves, but those of us who have been through some of these things, we can really help some of this process along, especially when we, you know, each one of us has a piece. That's the other thing Randy and I've been talking about. Each one of us, people who've been through projects, or even people who just have been drawn to this information or understanding this experience, we all have a small piece of the puzzle. And as long as we each only have our piece, it's much easier to control. But when we start putting our pieces together and we get a picture of the whole puzzle, then that's when the magic can really happen. That's when we really can, you know, take control of our potential as individuals and as a group, you know, and create what we want, as opposed to, you know, living in the box that was created for us. And I've been coming into the realization that the things that I've had to struggle with and fight through and this, all of these things that I've been through, that there is an upside to it. There's going to be use for some of the skills that, and some of the abilities and some of the knowledge and stuff that was gained through, you know, painful experiences that weren't of my choosing, but that's what happened. And now that experience and what we learned from that is ours. And we need to, you know, we need to be the controllers of our own minds now. We need to take responsibility for that. There's a lot of things we can do. Like they don't try and control people if there's nothing there that they feel needs to be controlled. So, you know, there's something, you know, interesting or unique or special about each one of us. And that's ours. It's not theirs. You know, when we didn't know we don't know about it, then it's easy to, for someone else to, you know, control over it. But it's ours now. We know it. And we become more and more clear on it all the time.
Yeah, the reality of it is that a long time ago, they figured out that they could aggregate groups of people that had different gifts and talents. This was largely almost a production style thing of putting teams together. Back and you listen to what Duncan described in his experiences, what other people who have come out of the projects have said, they were attempting to find the right combination of people to initiate certain processes largely directed towards warfare and intelligence gathering and espionage and war making. But the creative component of this is that we can take these things and turn them around, organically assemble people on an intuitive level and begin to create with them. You know, my point is that any goal you want to set right now, if you want to initiate free energy, if you want to create a parallel banking system, a system that sits outside of the current world system, if you want to build conscious communities, this all has to be done harnessing the energies that are innate within us. You see, the old models aren't going to work.
That's what it was, is they were harnessing energy and harnessing frequencies that they knew that when those things came together, they had the incredible capacity to create, to heal, to harmonize, and they were turning them inside out and trying to make chaos and war out of them. And now that we're aware of what those are, we can use them for the harmonic, beneficial purposes that they probably originally were the creator intended for them to be used for.
Well, we were profiled, and we were pre-life profiled. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah. Well, and tracking.
Moreover, yeah. Once you had the ability to begin aggregating data on the level that they did after World War II, because computing technology was much more advanced than most people realize, they also were then pre-identifying people according to their blood types, their genetics, the family lines indicating certain gifts and talents because of the way incarnational cycles work. And as the public school system emerged after World War II, they had access to children specifically who they could then pull into what Og Teles has called special access programs, basically taking people and testing them, taking us and testing us, and finding out what makes us tick.
What we can make tick.
You know, and underneath, you know, the plausible deniability of, look, this is an advanced learning program. We're gonna help your child. We may even be willing to put you through any school that you want to go through. All of the things that the average middle class family would aspire to was all done under color of these operations that had access to children. And they went through programs on every level. Some were soft programs, some were the hard programs like MKUltra, and the programs where they were using traumatic mind control. But they were using traumatic mind control every program to one degree or another.
Yeah.
And more people pass through this than realize it. And this is something that you and I have talked about, that early on when I was doing the show and I started to talk about TIs and these Black Ops programs, a lot of people started to talk in the background about the fact that they had memories of being tested. They had memories of being in certain places. And some of these people were very high profile. Yeah. You know, Whitley Strieber came on and talk about his experiences. I've had at least a dozen people.
That Whitley Strieber show you did, that's my favorite interview of him ever. That was such a good show. When he was talking about them coming and, you know, putting him out with the sound device for 30 minutes and then playing back to him. That was, remember that? That was such a good show.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's lost. It's one of those shows that got lost.
You know, that may have been a show I downloaded. I may have.
Yeah, well, there's another one too, folks. If you've got shows out there that you can't find on the internet, but you have a copy of it, let us know, because we want to reassemble the archives. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but we lost in 2013, we lost the server that was hosting the media files. It was the media files that went back to, 2009, because it was my Threshing Floor show files too. Parallel to that, we discovered that the archive hard drive that I had just wouldn't spin up anymore. The hard drive was just, you couldn't spin it up. You can't recover data off a drive that won't spin up. So there's a big gap in shows out there of things that we'd like to reassemble. If you have audio files archived somewhere of Exotica Off Planet Radio or even some of my later Threshing Floor shows, let us know. you come forward with archive items, we will give you free access to Off Planet Radio for a year. There. There's a, there's a deal, because that's a contribution. That's a contribution to the archives. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff got lost in all that, and trust me, that was not a coincidence.
There's no coincidence.
So having said all that, you know, we're sort of mapping out a lot of loose ideas, but the ideas are what... Where we want to go with this is I'm not interested, and Emily's not interested in doing the normal talk show anymore, because most of it is driven by news, which is fake media. It's all fake news. The term news itself, by the time you get a piece of news, it's already old. The only news that could ever be called news is the news you see before it happens. Now, if you go precog on us, we're interested in that shit. But the truth of the matter is most news is just, it's filtered, moderated. It's designed to keep you in a state of arrested development, fear, panic, doubt, all of the things that keep you connected to your lower energy patterns. We're interested in elevating the upper energy patterns and pushing the arc of man out for everyone. You know, it would be my hope that the 2 to 3% on this planet who are conscious and aware right now can initiate a spark that will set fire to humanity as a whole, just by the fact that we're putting it out into the conscious stream, the idea of raising all ships. I don't want to see civilization split. I don't want to see Atlantis sink again. God, that was horrible the last time. And I don't want to see us have to go through violent upheavals, revolutions, and bloody coups, and death, mayhem, famine, and murder anymore. I think the intention has to be for humanity to begin to raise the energetic and begin to launch out into the multiverse in a way that's meaningful and a way that's creative, and to do it peacefully and end war. And if all of that sounds idealistic, let me tell you something. I'm going to create it in my world regardless. I'd sure like you to come along.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that we've wove through some of that, there's a couple of other topics that we wanted to hit on that are sort of unrelated, but nothing's unrelated. One thing I wanted to say also, you know, I've been struggling for the last couple months because I've been wanting to say something about this, but I'm actually glad I didn't say something in the beginning, and I'm still not done with my thinking on it and my observations, but I didn't want to let it pass. You know, there was that fire at the Oakland warehouse that was at an underground music event. And I was struggling with this because I've been going through a phase myself personally where I'm very pulled back and I'm seeing things really, I've always seen things multidimensionally on a certain level, but it's really become much more extreme. So I'm starting to have a level of understanding of how the interactions between the dimensions works to create chaos at varying levels at the varying levels. And so I have reserved making a statement. And what I want to say is, all I want to say right now is I may actually have a guest on in a show in the near future to go through some of this with, who will definitely have a different perspective than I do, but it will be maybe a good person to go through this with. Something happened. It isn't what the people who are being reactive and thinking that it's exactly, it's not what the what has been said on the news, exactly what all the people who want to say everything is fake and everything is a hoax. Yes, everything is a hoax, but it's not a hoax. Like on a certain level, it's not either one of those extremes. This was a very intricate, many-leveled, multidimensional seance, spirit ritual sacrifice, puppet show kind of thing. It was I don't even know the words to describe it, and I'm not done with my thinking on it, but it has the whole arc of the entire event, from things that happened in the build up to it, to the actual so-called event, to the thing that happened in the aftermath, have a particular kind of geometry to it that I'm beginning to understand. That I think a lot of these events, that can be said about a lot of these strange events that we've been witnessing more and more over the last many years. So that's all I'm going to say for now. I may get into it some more on a show in the future, but I didn't want to not have something on the record that, it's, you know, that I said, but I understand that there are people out there who are suffering some kind of loss because of it. And I also understand that there are people out there that are that, you know, feel like they're tired of, you know, being lied to and told that all these crazy things are happening when it really isn't that way. And there's aspects of both positions that are true. I'm finding a way to work through this that true to all of who I am and all of the things I know, as opposed to just the emotional or the intellectual way of viewing things. So I just want to say that. I think the last thing we wanted to do for the next little bit on the show is draw some attention to the Where is Eric Braverman series that the George Webb has been doing on YouTube. His channel is George Webb, Webb with two B's. And I've been following him for over a month now. I'm sure that many of you out there have been following his series. It's been getting a little bit more attention lately. It is somewhat, it's fascinating. It's somewhat painstaking. He started at day 81 and today was day 86. He lost the first 52 days. YouTube took them down. And so he started again at about 52 or 53. But if you start from there, you'll be able to understand what's happening. But he's really moved along. And at first, he was really just speaking about Eric Braverman, who was the former CEO of the Clinton Foundation. And so they were speaking about the Clinton Foundation and its ties to rat lines, oil, arms, trades, all sorts of corruption. And it's expanded out now to where it's now, I think he was trying to avoid this topic, but it's unavoidable, where he's gotten into drugs and kids and sex trafficking. It reaches Haiti. It goes all over the world. It's coming home here. He is into, he's on it. And I'm going to say this right now. The Pizzagate thing was, they knew he was coming. They knew George Webb was coming. And the Pizzagate thing, the way it was presented and made like blown up, was to obfuscate this. He does deal with the sex trafficking of children. He doesn't go into quote unquote a little bit. He's talked about Pizzagate, but he's onto it. The people who want to push just the pizza shop version of this, that doesn't deal with this connection it has to arms and oil and pipelines and things like that. And that's the whole thing. They don't want people to know about that because they don't want that to fall too. So they just want to make it about this like weird art and the weird shit that goes on at Ping Pong Pizza, which is, there's a level of reality to that. But people getting caught up in just that part of it are missing the huge machine under it. That is the machine that we really need to, in a way, bring down to prevent these things from continuing happening. Randy, what say you?
Yeah, no, this is the aspect of the reality, you know, stream that we're in. And by saying that I don't want to do news doesn't mean I don't want to focus on things of substance. We have to pull the mask off the matrix. That's the mechanism to allow people to make more and better conscious choices, which I think, you know, the upshot of the election was largely this. You can argue that the election was rigged. Of course it was, because they always are. You can argue that there was subterfuge and espionage and spycraft. All of that went into it.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, there was some critical leakage that came out into the mainstream public and an awareness of something that is now going to be talked about just by virtue of the fact that it was squeezed out onto the mainstream in the course of this election. People have talked about pedophilia in very narrow ways, largely related to the Roman Catholic Church. And obviously some things like the Franklin cover-up have pushed it out at various times. But the conversation, the toothpaste is out of the tube on this. It's not going back in. And crimes against children and the kind of high-level dealing that's being done under cover of institutions like the Clinton Foundation. And I noticed that Braverman in the last show that I saw was talking about DynCorp, which is a corporation.
DynCorp,
so, which needs to be majorly outed because they have their fingers in everything. This is a spawn of MIT, by the way, which is sort of hooked into high-end technological aspects that go into transhumanism, the aerosoling of the sky. This is the dark underside of the beast. So, are we interested in that? Yep, absolutely. Talking about it.
Yeah, the dying core, he's really been focusing in a lot on dying core in the past like week and a half or 2 weeks. And he's been, well, I really appreciate that he's highlighted that what the fuck happened here, because Cynthia McKinney, 15 years ago now, asked, you know, in session in Congress why we were continuing to give contracts to dying core who had been convicted of sex trafficking. So he's highlighted some people who really deserve, who really were the heroes before we understood that they were heroes. And Cynthia McKinney is one of them. I would love to have her on the show sometime. She's completely out of our wheelhouse, but I love, that's one of the.
Oh, I don't think so. I think
She's not. She is a real world, you know, she is people like her that actually enable people like me and Randy to worry about the issues that we worry about, because there's people like her dealing with the hard feet on the ground stuff. And I love her. She's like one of the few people in the world where just there is nothing weird or shady coming off of her. That woman, she's the only person I've been able to figure, like, from all the looking I've done, she's the only person in the political arena whose words, whose actions matched her words.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's rare. It's so rare. He's been highlighting her talking about dying core. Let me just finish this real quick. And he's been basically saying that dying core is into everything. He's been able to find connections to dying core to all of these quote unquote shootings and whatever, all these mass shootings and staged hoaxes. He said there's dying core's fingers are in all of these things.
Connections to 9/11.
Everything. They're into everything, and they're into the corrupting of the police forces in different countries and localities. The dying core trains the police forces to gang rape groups of people, and it is the stuff he's been able to turn up is incredible. And he makes progress every day. And he kind of, the way he does his videos is he sort of reviews what he talked about the day before and then makes a little more progress. And it, to me, like, he's just blowing the lid off of so much stuff. So, you know, everybody, please pay attention to it. And we need to, we all need to know this information so that if they try to take him out, then there's already the toothpaste is, like Randy said, is so far out of the tube that they're going to have to brush their teeth. They're not going to have a choice.
Exactly. The other thing that I will just add, going back for a minute to the warehouse fire, is that the conspiracy inside of the entertainment industry, as Mark Devlin and many others are uncovering, is very dark. When you were talking about that, it flashed me back to the period that ended the Woodstock generation, which was Altamont in 1969, the Rolling Stones concert. And that was the event that basically ended the large festivals as they were, that were held the way they were, and it was the end of an era. It seems like they like to launch off into these beautiful things to bring people into a movement and then have a ritualistically horrible ending to it.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely.
You know, again, mass culture movements are dangerous. Beware of them. We've seen everything that we love in terms of music and art co-opted. I've been watching a lot of documentaries lately on the emergence of hip hop and house music, because that's a part of the culture that I'm probably least familiar with, and seeing how its organic roots began in the streets and how it's all now been corporatized and monopolized and homogenized and placed under corporate control and used for mind control. So, you know, again, these are areas that we're going to talk about more in the future, because they're things that interest us and they're things that are important to you, and they're part of this arc. Music and art are very important aspects of where we need to go as a race of people.
They've been using it to debase us and to degrade our culture. And we need to turn this around and start using music and art for the incredible, inspirational, and healing power that it has, instead of letting it debase, degrade, destroy, and retard us.
Absolutely. Everything that has been inverted now needs to be redeployed, reconsecrated to higher good, and given back to the people. So I think that kind of wraps up where we wanted to go on this, the first podcast of 2017. Anything else you want to kick in, Em?
That's all. I'm really looking forward to the journey that this year will be, Randy, with you and with all of you out there, listeners and supporters. I really appreciate you guys. I love hearing from you. Join us.
join us, and the information to contact us, and that can be done through email or on Facebook. You can find all the information at offplanetradio.com, which will be in the process of being revamped over the next few weeks and the next few months. I'm Randy Moggins with Emily Moyer. The truth is out there. It truly is inside you. Now launch off and go grab some. Thank you.